Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hopefully you are having a pleasant and productive Tuesday, June 17th so far. We got plenty to do, including discussing what the Grizzlies should do with the number 16 pick. It feels weird to all of a sudden be paying attention to mock drafts, and particularly as they relate to the first round. There's a new one out on ESPN, and it is. It's a different perspective now because I wake up this morning, I go look at it because I want to know. And we studied Drew Hill's piece early this week, the Daily Memphians Grizz beat writer, about who the Grizzlies could now select at 16, because you got to pick. So all that's fun. The flexibility is fun. And trying to figure out how you're going to get closer to the teams, particularly one of them that was playing last night, is really where we are at now with the Memphis Grizzlies, too, as we await, too, perhaps, news on Jaren Jackson Jr. and hopes of a contract renegotiation and extension. So plenty to discuss when it comes to the Grizzlies, plenty to discuss with the aforementioned finals as well. We saw the Thunder take command last night. Boy, Jalen Williams. He's graduated to stud. All-star already. All-NBA. But absolute playoff stud now. 40 points last night. He and SGA combined for 71. Very impressive. Halliburton's hurt. We'll talk about where that thing's headed from here. John, how are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Yeah, that was a, I got to say, I give Indiana credit for that early fourth. I mean, they cut it to two. Mm-hmm. And then, you see how thin these margins are. There were two turnovers from Nimhard there at the end of the third quarter. And then there was one there, early in the fourth. Just felt very costly. Turnovers were the issue, again, last night for Indiana.
Yeah, 20 plus.
That's a team that doesn't do that. Right, that was what we talked about coming into the series. They do not turn the ball over, and the Thunder have turned them into a team that does, in fact, turn the ball over. Halliburton, disastrous game for him. At this stage, at this point in the playoffs, they obviously needed a lot more from him, and maybe he's hurt, maybe he's not. I don't know, but it felt like that was, I don't want to say a death blow because this Pacers team has been so damn resilient throughout these playoffs, but it is the first time they've trailed all playoffs long. Mm-hmm. And so now you're like, what's about to happen? Has the dam finally broken on these Pacers?
Did I hear some doubt from you on whether he's, or just was that doubt in terms of the NBA audience Halliburton's injury? Went Rick Carlisle said he re-aggravated in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Are we doubting?
No, I mean, I just
I didn't know if that was you, or because I've heard it too. I didn't know if you were there or if you were, Halliburton's sort of, these performances we've sort of seen, and are they dressing it up and giving him an excuse?
That's kind of like because he's playing.
I'm wondering if you were thinking that or if that was some of the NBA audience.
Because to me, if you're playing, right?
Then you're good enough to go.
Exactly. You're going to be, held to that standard. If you can't play, you can't play.
I'm with you. 4 points, sit down. I'd rather see McConnell at that point. If you're hurt, you're hurting them.
Yep.
And frankly, Rick Carlisle should have stuck with McConnell. Who had, 18? He's playing well.
Yeah, he gave him the hook after one travel in that early fourth.
18 points, yeah.
And I thought that was probably, too soon given how damn good he was playing.
Three turnovers. I mean, all his starters had three or more,
right.
It felt like.
Right.
And so the three turnovers from McConnell wasn't enough to pull him last night on a night where Halliburton is hurting you.
That's
a hurt Halliburton, apparently, is hurting you.
Exactly. So we'll get into all that today on the show. Obviously, the Thunder finally take control of the series, go up 3-2. After game five, game six, Thursday, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Big show today, Jessica Benson is going to join us. She, of course, known for her famous ballad, EP. Have you heard of EP?
No.
She had it on TikTok, and it goes a little something like this. Bitch, I'm so EP. What you know about me? We'll get into that a little bit later.
All right.
Maybe it hasn't swept the nation yet. Maybe it hasn't crossed over.
I don't know if it's swept this room yet.
But EP.
Okay.
Be on the lookout.
I'll be looking to be educated on that.
But we'll talk to her about the Desmond Bane trade. It's official. The arrivals of Cole Anthony and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. The draft. What might be next? Saw a mock draft this morning.
Good. I'm glad you looked.
I vomited everywhere in the house when I saw it.
I vomited when Bane looked around that Orlando facility and said, "This ain't Memphis." I'm paraphrasing, but that is pretty much what happened.
That is what he said. He said, "This isn't Memphis." You know? Which, come on, man.
Was that the exact quote? I don't know. Was that the exact quote? I don't think it was the exact quote. It might have been the exact quote.
I mean, we knew what he meant.
Yes. Everybody did.
Yes.
And now, with the stuff Stephen A's doing today,
oh man,
I'm getting frustrated.
No question.
But yeah, but I mean, what Bane's saying is real, though, right? I mean, that's part of the
Orlando is not Memphis. That is very true.
What that facility, they have compared to what we have at least right now, there is a sort of stark difference. No,
I honestly don't know.
It wasn't just a deal where he's like kicking dirt and rocks on the previous organization.
Are our facilities bad? I didn't realize. I didn't know.
Well, we're about to.
A lot of
it remodeled. I would hope some of that price facility too. But I compared to Orlando's, what I was trying to determine was whether that was kicking rocks and being a little bit disrespectful, or if it's just that much of a difference.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you looked around the room that he was in,
the Kia Center's a little newer.
We didn't have anything that looked like where they were in. Now I don't know where they were.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kia Center is 2010, opened 2010. So, you know, it's a little newer than this. But I honestly don't know.
The Stephen A. stuff.
I do not know about the facility difference. But I do agree with Desmond Bane in that Orlando and Memphis are not the same. They are different. That's the beauty of the world. We are not all the same. We are all different. Anyway, we'll get into all of that with Jessica Benson at 11:25. And Jason Fitz will join us at 1:25.
Excellent.
Talk NBA Finals with him. Some NFL, some college football, and more like we do. So that is the show today. Thunder win it. A little bit more dramatic than the final score would indicate, because Pascal Siakam was going absolutely crazy. Like, my God, that dude was doing everything he could do. He was taking over defensively. He was making shots from everywhere on the court. And he helped them cut the fourth quarter deficit after being down by what, as many as 18-2. And that's as close as they could get because missed rotation on Jalen Williams, a turnover from Nimhard led to a run out. You know, Shea, obviously, just another 31-10 night for him at the office, and we're underwhelmed by that. That's how great he's been. You got to do that for 48 minutes, and they could not. A disastrous night for Haliburton, only 4 points on the night. You know, again, you're going to beat the Thunder. You're going to beat them 4 times. You got to be perfect. And the Pacers were good last night, but they were certainly far from perfect.
I mean, I don't see how we can go any further and not talk about what Jalen Williams is becoming with 40 points last night. It's in fact, it makes you wonder, is this going to be a deal where you've got multiple MVPs on one team again? It's what you had in OKC years ago. Now, they'd never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, those guys had to all break off to go do that. There's no chance this is changing anytime soon. They've got these guys on good contracts and everything else. But my point is, we're getting – Pascal Siakam, you're right, because he was dragging that team.
Dragging them.
But my guy, bro, had 40 points last night. He was hitting everything. I mean, and this dude is the new Pascal. That's what Jalen Williams is. And the fact that they've got him – to go with SGA, who, like you said, was just business-like, does it again, 31. I mean, you're getting that every night from him. But this dude that is growing into a, dare I say it, superstar? I mean, he's certainly a more of a – he's not Robin. He's better than Robin. He's had one bad series, these playoffs. This dude is emerging again as one of the stars of the league. Jalen Williams, stud, 40 points.
He made some tough ass shots.
Tough
too.
Shots. Only one turnover. I cannot say enough good things. Just how amazed I am. We've spent so much time on SGA and just really in awe and of the leader that he is, right? How he sets the culture. Frankly, we're jealous. I mean, I am. That's me. I watch Jalen Williams. I think, my God, they got another star right there. This guy could be leading a team too.
He could.
Now, last night you saw who the leader is. I don't know if you saw it, but there's a clip where Jalen's frustrated with the ref. SGA grabs him, 360s him out of there, like pulls him away. He took his young running mate. He grabbed him. As talented as this guy is, he could be looking at this thing as a young guy saying, this is my night, whatever. Let me talk to this ref.
Right.
He allowed SGA to pull him off. Now, he went back, but my point is, even he, this talented, knows that right now, best thing to do, sure, I can outscore SGA in this game, but he's still in leading his team last night offensively. He's still falling behind SGA. You're still getting the pecking order. He's still allowing SGA to lead. It's so perfectly balanced, dude. That's my issue. You know what happens if Dylan Brooks goes off like that? He starts thinking it's about him. You know what I'm saying? We had to get off that. It wasn't working anymore. They have such a right now just a chemistry that isn't just guys that can do everything, guys that are playing well together. It's, dude, they know who their leader is, and, man, frankly, this just looks to me like San Antonio Golden State, and it's boring to me.
In terms of the dynasty.
Yes. It's the start of a dynasty. It's boring to me. Those became boring after a while.
They did.
So I don't know how you...
The Spurs were pretty much always boring. The Warriors at the beginning was like, oh, my God, the way they play was so, you know, fun to watch, the Splash Brothers. But then it just became, you know, then they go get KD, and it's like, this is just not fair, you know?
That's what it feels like we're getting to if this dude, Jalen Williams, is going to be this good.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got what?
And Chet will continue to get better.
You ended up with
well.
Three MVPs off that first OKC team that didn't win.
Harden,
Westbrook,
exactly.
Durant, they all won them.
Exactly.
This dude at some point could win an MVP. I'm just, it looked like it last night. A dude in the finals doing that? What is it, year three?
Yeah. I mean, he was fantastic.
I understand that having SGA, there's probably some rolling their eye. Oh, my gosh, Jason, calm down, Jason. Having SGA allows you to do a lot of that. It also can raise you up to that player.
No doubt.
Ask Scottie Pippen.
No doubt.
Ask him what having Michael Jordan did in terms of raising what he thought he could be and helping him reach a star that maybe never would have been reached if he's not playing on a team with Michael Jordan. That's what I'm seeing happening with Jalen Williams.
Yep.
He's benefiting, yes, from all the attention the SGA gets, but obviously, too, he's watching SGA do this. He said, I could do that, too.
Yep.
And it's taking him to another level. This stuff's scary, man. It's not fun.
I feel like, anecdotally, a lot of his scoring last night did come with SGA off the floor. Maybe not all of it, obviously, but a good part of it, I feel like, came when SGA was on the bench.
Well, remember, the adjustment last game was him bringing the ball up instead of SGA early. You're using him as that now.
Yep.
You're using him to bring up the ball to initiate the offense.
Yep.
He could do it all.
No, he's been fantastic.
And that helped SGA hit the shots down the stretch that brought them back in the critical game four, where Indy really could have taken control had they held on there.
Yeah.
But, I'm not hearing enough about this kid.
Yeah.
Van Pelt was all over it having him after the game. This guy, and he's so unassuming. I'll celebrate when when it's all over. I guess this was pretty cool. Yeah, score 40.
Yeah.
You know, Scott was trying to get to him. Dude, do you ever get up? And that to me goes back to SGA. Like, wow. How can this dude not be thinking about himself after a performance like that? Dude, he's just thinking about finishing this thing off, and he'll look back individually on how good he was later. Boy, that's an organization that doesn't have doesn't look like it's got a weakness.
Yeah.
Or at least looks like it's got a counter for everything you throw at them.
No, I mean, it feels like he's arrived, right? All-star this year.
Arrival, bro.
All-NBA third team, all-defensive second team.
SGA is turning him into Scotty.
Yeah. So those two together definitely feel like a core that's going to be together for a long time.
There won't be a third MVP, right?
I don't think Chet's
never going to be an MVP, right?
He'll be a defensive player of the year, perhaps.
Right. Maybe
you know,
maybe defensive.
That's enough.
Still got to be Wimby to do
you
that.
Know? Well, I need to see if Wimby's going to play again.
Oh,
he's in Shaolin. He's a monk right now. I'm not sure what's going on with him.
Oh, I'd lost track of him.
Yeah, he's shaved his head. He's, you know, people are asking the question of, like, where is this guy? I think he's going to come back and play, but we'll see how healthy he is over the course of his career. And I guess same goes for Chet. Like, every time Chet plays, it's like, this dude's so rickety, it feels like, and he hits the deck. But I don't know if it's MVP. It's more so like just all these big pieces, you know? Like,
I think Jalen could be one down the road.
Yeah.
It'd have to be on another team, obviously.
He's only 24.
Yeah.
I mean, so I won't rule it out as an all-NBA third-team guy.
I don't know if you can keep all these guys together eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing that breaks it up. Now, Golden State was able to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
Spurs were able to
they
do that for
the
most part.
They went into tax, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just depends on how you're, you know, how desperately you want to do that. But, yeah, the Thunder are, you know, they've taken control. They look like the team we believe they would be coming into the series. And, you know, look, I do believe that Indiana can respond, but obviously it's going to take more than four from Halliburton to do that. So we'll see if going back home, you know, gets them back right. But OKC is a game away from being the NBA champion in 2024-25. All right, before we get to Jessica Benson, the Grizzlies have some moves to make. Obviously, they trade Desmond Bane and get back a couple of rotation guys, KCP, Cole Anthony, some picks. We'll see how those are used. The national media has pondered what that move really means for the Memphis Grizzlies. What does it mean for Ja Morant? What does it mean for Jaren Jackson Jr.? What does it mean for the franchise in total? And it came up today. Was it First Take where this discussion came up? And Stephen A. Smith weighed in, and this is what Stephen A. Smith had to say.
Marcus, listen, I know y'all got to go. You going to tell folks why nobody wants to be in Memphis, or you want me to do it?
Oh, no. For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it, but you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be in Memphis.
I want to hear you say, why you think?
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people.
Yeah.
But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know they've told me.
So there's Stephen A. Smith on national television perpetuating the worst sort of tropes about the city of Memphis and saying that NBA players don't want to come here because of crime. I feel like that's like a Tennessee Vol fan Twitter account when it comes to like going to a Grizzlies game. Sounds like Stephen A. Smith saying that nobody wants to go downtown Memphis because of crime. I would guess that NBA players, like Kevin Durant, doesn't want to go to Minnesota. Is that because crime? Or is that because it's not Houston or Miami, right? I don't think we're going to get any think pieces about Minnesota. Are people lining up to go to Oklahoma City? Like, I mean, I know that they're a great team, and that's a big part of it. But are people like, oh man, I got to get to OKC as the market? I just think it's such low hanging fruit to go with the crime in Memphis, man. Obviously, somebody talked to them about that, but I just think it's so weak, man. I think it's beyond weak.
Well, Stephen A. has made it clear, and I don't think he's necessarily backed off of it, that in his estimation, he said it previously, that the franchise should be moved out of Memphis and moved
to
another city.
He did say that.
And all, I mean, this to me is very simple because he said the name of the player.
Right.
If he did, Jimmy Butler could have a problem with this, with Stephen A. bringing up his name in this conversation.
Yep.
If that conversation didn't take place, right?
Yep.
And he may not have given Stephen A. the permission to do this.
He
may still get a text or whatever just because it was the only name Stephen A. used. Now, he said, folks are telling me. He said, folks telling me. We should play it again. Can we do it again? Let's listen to it again and hear how he's referring. He says players, but there's one player he refers to. Let's hear it again.
Marcus, listen, I know y'all got to go. You going to tell folks why nobody wants to be in Memphis or you want me to do it?
Oh, no. For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it, but you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be in Memphis.
I want to hear you say, why you think?
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people.
Yeah.
But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know they've told me.
He's got one. He wouldn't say that they've told me and used Jimmy, attributed to him, if Jimmy hadn't said something along those lines. It might have Jimmy said something along those lines when he, remember, Memphis was the one that was singled out by him before he was traded to Golden State?
Yep.
Probably. Yep. Now, the weak part where I'm with you is using Jimmy in that one line, right, as sort of the NBA view of you. The
right.
NBA players look at Memphis. He's generalized it. He basically said it's the whole league by what I think. This is, again, my opinion here, my guess, what he heard from one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real, too. We're talking stars, man. Stephen A. ain't talking to the rookies and the second-year players and the guys that are just happy to be in the league. He's talking to the stars. He's talking to KD. He's talking to Jimmy. That's why I didn't bring up KD in this, because Jimmy is the one he's had the conversation with. So if he ever gets stuck on this, he can go back to it. And he can say, Jimmy, you told me that. Right, because I don't think he would just throw away all journalistic integrity. Although I'm not someone who can question someone else's, I've got to look at my own. I'm a guy who looks in the mirror. But my point, I believe he heard something along those lines from Jimmy. But that's it. And the weak part is projecting that onto the rest of the league. The weak part is using this to back up what I think is still your stance that there shouldn't be an NBA team in Memphis, and then to call the people good. You say all the people are good. It's a great sports town, but we know you'd rather have this thing in Las Vegas or Seattle. He's basically said that. He said it
exactly.
I think we had him on after he did, frankly, to address it.
Yeah,
a few years back.
Good call. We did, and he of course
softened up.
Yeah.
Told us how great we are, and everything else like you do. But that's what I think we've got here. We didn't ask Benson to say, but I think Jimmy said something along those lines. He can attribute that to him. Weak sauce is saying that this is the league. Because come on, man. You think, that Dorian Finney-Smith, that deal didn't get done because he didn't want to come to Memphis? You didn't throw in another first round or whatever it was? It wasn't about not coming to Memphis. That's what I'm saying. This is about the top of the, the LeBrons, the Jimmy Butlers, the KDs. There's going to be a few of them. And to pin it on crime, I mean, we can go, weak that is too. But my point is he can do that, I believe, because he's got Jimmy Butler having said something. I don't want to go low crime rid Memphis, something like that. That's Jimmy. Can absolutely see him doing that.
Yeah. I mean especially.
So you're right. There's some weakness in it. It's I think it's a particular kind, again, where you're using one quote, one viewpoint from one player as a generalization about the league and how it feels towards crime-ridden Memphis.
Yeah.
And it'll get him clicks to say, authorities in Memphis, I'm looking at you. Now, New Orleans has dropped crime a lot. I was looking. They've dropped their murder rate. They've dropped their crime rate and everything else. But don't tell me there ain't a ton of crime in New Orleans still.
They
were once the murder capital. We are now, whatever. I don't recall Stephen A. when they were the murder capital saying people shouldn't go to New Orleans or don't want to be there.
What about Detroit? What about Detroit?
But he can say it here again because, again, we just had the recent deal with Jimmy. Memphis was singled out, and I'll bet you they had a, whether text or face-to-face conversation with something along those lines was said. Maybe just in jest, which would make this even weaker.
Yep.
That he's using this
yep.
as sort of the way he said players. Then name the other ones, bro.
Name them.
He named one. He named one. I'm guaranteeing you, that's why Jimmy won't be able to come back out here and go and say, I didn't say that.
That's right.
But if he had others, he would have said them.
Yes. I can't wait to hear about the landscapes in Milwaukee, right? How's the crime landscape in Milwaukee? Is that a free agent destination? The only player they've ever had is one they drafted from Greece, and he happened to find a home there in Giannis. They ain't ever had anybody else. I can't wait to hear about the Detroit landscape. I can't wait to hear about every other small market in the NBA. It's a small market. Players don't go to small markets. They don't want to do that. They want to go to Houston. They want to go to Atlanta. They want to go to Miami. They want to go to all these LA.
Hartenstein went to OKC because, I mean, they had a, when you have a superstar like that, it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. So Giannis in Milwaukee, when they got Giannis, And you've got some other pieces around him, that's a championship outfit. I'll go there too. What I think, John, I'm not pushing back on what you're saying, but there's more in terms of why did KD maybe not want to? Is it the Memphis crime, or is it, can I trust Ja Morant, who hasn't played more than 65 games but one time?
Well, he didn't want to go to Minnesota either.
There's not an SGA, there's not a Giannis here yet that is on the floor every single game that you can count on. Ja Morant's got one playoff series win.
I know, but understand that. But like Minnesota is a Western Conference Finals team 2 years in a row. They have them in the face of the league, and he said, I don't want to go there either. So it's like, it's not just about that.
But I'm saying, if he's got Jimmy Butler saying that I don't want to go to Memphis, that's he's talked to him. That's how he feels.
Oh, 100%.
He can say a player said that.
Right, right.
That's all there is
to it.
There's
no doubt about that.
And then we've always had an issue when it comes to attracting the top stars to Memphis, right? Always. It's always been the case here. Always.
Yes.
But and we've sort of subscribed to it.
I just don't think Memphis is unique in that as a small market. That's not, you know, who's the other small market in the NBA like that?
Well, it's New Orleans right now that doesn't have a superstar that you would still go to it for, right? Like an OKC that does. It's New Orleans that doesn't.
But
that's probably right now the closest.
They have Giannis. They're not going to get anybody. Nobody wants to play there.
I mean, they did when it looked good, like they were going to win a championship. Not now. Because
they traded for Drew Holiday.
I mean, they've dumped in everything. They won a title.
I'm just saying, though.
I think we're on the same side here. I'm not going to start arguing with you over differences in small markets. We're arguing the same thing.
Yeah.
Stephen A. has gone weak here with the move. We're saying weak for different reasons.
Yeah.
But we're agreeing. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you about the difference in small markets. I think it's all the same.
Yeah.
We know. We've said it as a fact before Stephen A's comment, that stars don't want to come here.
Right.
We've subscribed to it.
Oh, it's true.
So we can't push back and say they don't want to go back to any small market.
No, well, I mean, first of all, that is a factual statement, though, Jason. Like,
when the small market has the star, they go.
Well, they stay. That star can stay.
Okay, I'm looking at Giannis. They built a championship contender around him in a small market. I'm looking at SGA. They've done that in however you want to do it. Some they drafted, some they brought in.
OKC has. That is they traded, though, for SGA. They did go trade, and they drafted Jalen Williams.
But my point isn't how you got him. My point is once you have a guy there that can win you a title, Ja is not that yet because he hasn't proven he can stay on the floor.
Well, the reason why I'm talking about free agency is because this is about people wanting to go to Memphis, right? Like, it's choosing to go.
Right. So we're saying no one ever joined Milwaukee or OKC. We know Hartenstein was just a free agent.
Yep, he did.
That's what I'm saying.
Did.
You're saying Milwaukee was all drafted? There's not a
or
free
trade.
Agent who
it
went
was mostly and, trade.
Okay, mostly trade. My point is, if there wasn't anybody, zero people saying, I'm not going because it's a small market.
Right.
Then what are we if there was one, you still went. You said, it's okay, I'm going to go to the small market because Giannis is going to lead me to a title. The point, arguing is pointless here. That we agree, that's where we need to stay. You're trying to be right on something.
I'm not trying to be right. I'm just saying, like, I don't think Memphis is unique as a small market. That's all I'm saying. Small markets in the NBA struggle with these things regardless of who it is.
That's factual, but my point and where you're seeming to be stopping and not wanting to join me is once the small market has the star you can trust, it really gets thrown out the window.
It can. It doesn't always. I mean, I don't think that's like a blanket fact. I just don't.
If Ja Morant was on the floor and leading Memphis to deep playoff runs, you would get other players here. That's what I truly believe. If you don't believe that,
I mean,
then we won't be able to come together.
Well, I think that's more of a matter of opinion than a fact, though, Jason. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think it's a bad opinion.
Well,
I don't think it's a bad
opinion.
You're
where you're at. I'm where I'm at. We're good. We've done a good job here of keeping it civil to this point. It's great. You're where you're at. I think you've made valid points. I've made valid points. The difference seems to be in your sort of categorizing of small markets, and Memphis is different here, or it's not different because
it is a small market in the National Basketball
Association. But it's what I'm saying is it is different than the other small markets, OKC and Milwaukee, lately, because you don't have the guy that other superstars like Jimmy Butler can trust.
That
it's a fact.
That is true.
The guy has won one playoff series. He hasn't finished the last two, three?
Right. But OKC was built through the draft and not through free agency.
I understand that, but this is a segment that says, should Grizzlies move on from Ja Morant? I mean, we're talking about here guys coming here to play for him. They're not factoring in at all whether KD trusts him, whether Jimmy Butler trusts him. He's chalking it all up to crime.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. Makes it a weaker, you see.
No, I
agree. And you've now separated from me in this quest to make – To say we're all the same. No stars want to go to any small markets.
Right. That is my universal like feeling about
and
the NBA.
And my universal feeling is once you get a guy that can lead you to a championship there, that kind of gets thrown out the window. And I would point to Milwaukee and OKC. You would say that one of those counts and the other one doesn't. And there we are. Jessica Benson's next.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll talk to her about this, get her thoughts on Stephen A's comments, where the Grizzlies go from here, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'd be trying to...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Catch it on Grind City Media every morning. She joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. We have a lot to get to today, Jessica, starting with the transaction, the move. Desmond Bane traded to the Orlando Magic in return for a bunch of picks, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Cole Anthony. Just as someone who's around and in that building and at every game, what do you make of the move on the surface for the Grizzlies?
Well, the second it comes through, I think I had the same reaction that most had, and that it was the Grizzlies got all that for Desmond Bane, and no disrespect to Desmond Bane, but we understand that he's not an all-star, and now we see that the Orlando Magic have identified him as the solution to being their most competitive version of themselves in a weaker Eastern Conference next year, and their president said it yesterday. They want to go win a championship, and they think Desmond Bane can help. That always creates an interesting situation when one team has decided that for their goals of winning a championship, it involves moving on from Desmond Bane. So for one, it helps. For the other, they're going in another direction. And you look at a core three of Ja, Jaron, and Dez, and we talked about this coming out of the season. Was this going to be the summer that they were going to split that core up? And that's now happened. And it indicates to me that this team is committed to building around Ja and Jaron and taking that next step forward. We'll ultimately see what those picks perhaps are used to find something else that makes this a little fuller, because I don't think it's, you know, too crazy to say the Grizzlies took a step back. Like, they got a little bit worse in trading Desmond Bane. And yes, you can make cases of value for KCP and for Cole Anthony if they do end up being on this team next year. But it does feel as if there has to be a couple more irons in the fire for this Grizzlies group if they want to be able to confidently go into next season saying, we got better in the offseason, and now we're ready to play here in the West.
How excited are you about potentially using this 16 pick, or just the thought of maybe, you know, whether you're drafting a player or flipping it with something else, you know, bringing in something in? All this new, it feels like flexibility that you got. It is kind of exciting, though.
Yeah, flexibility is, you know, what we live for. Like, flexibility equals hope, right? Because you can make a million cases for those picks and parts to be used to make upgrades that this team needs, whether it be, you know, my preference of getting a little bit stronger at a 3-and-D wing and adding that length around Ja and having the opportunity to kind of upgrade at that position. Or you think about the front court issues with Edie potentially missing the beginning of the season and what they could do in that avenue. I won't be mad if they use the number 16 pick this year, because I think drafts are fun. And when you convince yourself of players that you feel a certain kind of way about, I've been obsessed with Neek Clifford since Colorado State beat Memphis in the NCAA tournament. And I'm like, ooh, I'm intrigued by him. But that said, I don't necessarily need to see this team get younger, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big part of this equation, is moving on from youth and getting those established vets or just older players who are able to elevate this team now. Less projects, less development, more how does this equate to the Grizzlies winning enough games next season to not only host a playoff round, but then also to make an actual chase at a Western Conference title.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, whether it's Neek Clifford or Cedric Howard, or ESPN's mock draft had the Grizzlies taking Jace Richardson today. Like, that, if that indeed happens, if they end up executing that 16th pick and drafting a player with the intentions of rostering him, it would definitely change the prism through which I view this trade. It would make me feel like they're a little aimless. It would make me feel like they're a little aimless. Because it's exactly what you said. It's like, all right, you know, if you're sort of deconstructing this thing with hopes of we're going to reconstruct it in a different way with it. And obviously I know it takes another team to do that. I know it takes two to tango, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to then use a pick you got on a guy who is going to inevitably make you even younger when you've already talked about getting younger by mistake or accident or however it was framed. I just don't know how you can marry those two things. Like, you should have just kept Desmond Bane if that was the plan.
Right, because you're going to look at next season, and if Desmond Bane hasn't turned into an obvious upgrade somewhere, then you're asking, well, why did we move on from Desmond Bane? And obviously there are other components to that in salary and
exactly.
the understanding that paying three people,
right.
the amount that you would need to eventually pay Des, John, and Jaren just probably isn't a reality in the new NBA with the new CBA and all that jazz. But that's how it will feel.
Right.
And, you know, when you're trying to get charged up about a team's chances, it's hard to do that if there wasn't some sort of a return for the big player that you lost that is making the other team that he went to say, hey, now we have the missing link for our championship aspirations.
I got to be honest. Like, if this is all just, and we'll see, I don't know that it is, but if this is all just a rearranging of money so that Jaren can get all of it, that's going to upset me. That's going to upset me because it is. I understand that Jaren is a big piece of it and he's a big part of it, but like, there's more to this puzzle, as we know, than just making sure that the number two guy on your team has as much money as he possibly wants. Like,
right?
Pay your bills,
but go shopping. Like, that's what I want. Like, pay your bills, but then go shopping. You have money, quote unquote, picks, assets, to go and buy yourself something really nice, potentially.
How about Ja? Did you see his tweet? Talking about the Grizz more than the finals with these cap-ass sources. And he says, I'm going to be in that 901 source, me, with two exclamation points. I think Ja sort of puts when he drops the mic on. I think it was First Take this morning that was doing, should Ja Morant move on, those kinds of things. So it looks like he's answering.
I mean, that's a pretty definitive tweet, you know.
I love definitive tweets. I love when somebody shuts up some people who are talking out of some insane sides of their mouth today.
We are doing that, though, in the last couple of days, are we not? We've been talking trade, whether it was, ESPN, First Take, whether it was Get Up. More so than these finals, is it fair to OKC in Indiana, or is it just sort of where we are in the NBA and the fact that you got Indiana and OKC out there?
So it bugs me, but I also understand that it's not as detrimental as I sometimes make it out to be in my brain, because if people are talking about the league, that shows health and interest and entertainment and drive and all that stuff. So if somebody's coming to get the latest on the Kevin Durant trade news and then also get the preview of Thunder Pacers, those things can act sympathetically and work together. But I don't love it, because we have had such a great series between the Thunder and the Pacers, and it feels like everybody loves the sexy trade talk, off-season talk, and is in such a rush to get to transaction season that you're not appreciating the fact that we have at most two more games in this NBA season before we go into the dark parts of summer. So, like, chill for a moment. This can wait. We're going to have so much time to eat up once we get into July that it feels just a little silly that so much of the airspace gets, I won't say wasted, but just spent on the extra conversations outside of a really tremendous series that we've had.
Yeah, it's like the national media can't talk about the finals if they're not breaking down somebody's legacy. Like, oh, what does this mean for so-and-so? Because obviously, like, there's no legacy on either side of this thing right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, if LeBron's not in it, if Steph's not in it, you know, it's like, we don't know how
God
to
forbid you just talk about the X's and O's.
I mean, Stephen A was literally playing solitaire, I mean, in the middle of the game. So it
doesn't. And then we all saw that halftime show last night. Like, come on.
It doesn't really surprise me altogether that they're not talking about it. And look, I understand, like, they probably have the data. You know, they probably have what they're – the NBA is always kind of covered like that. It's always been covered about the off-court drama. It's been one of my frustrations with it. Like, we talk more about the off-court than we do the on-court.
Right.
So I don't know. It's been quite the experiment here in the last couple of weeks here with the Memphis Grizzlies. So without knowing what's next, what do we feel about next year? I mean, this doubling down of Ja and Jaren, what should and could that look like?
I'm still so hopeful. And I won't change up now. I was hopeful in starting next year with Ja, Jaren, and Dez and giving it one more go of a beginning. I feel like we'll always have some semblance of feeling a little bit robbed of never getting the full picture. And I guess we got enough of it last season to feel that, you know, it wasn't going to work with those three. And so you make the beginning decision to move on from Desmond Bain. But there's still a lot of reason to believe in a team that is built around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And I know, you know, the next step is really like who's going to be that clear number three guy next to them. But I think you're super encouraged with how encouraged the team is by Jalen Wells and the idea of shifting him into the two role, and to have that much hope on a second year player. Like, you never want to be reckless with that hope, but I think it's a testament to what they've seen from him and the work that he put in and the rookie season that he turned. Obviously you put a lot in Zach Edey coming off of this ankle surgery. That is a bummer for an offseason conversation and could be a bummer to start the year, but you look around the league and, oh yeah, it sure should help a team to have a 7'4" guy of their own to add onto that back line. And then there's some big question marks, but I don't feel as if the Grizzlies are in this very far away scenario where they shouldn't be included in the grouping of teams. You know, behind OKC has solidified themselves as the team in the Western Conference and built to last, and even just seeing what Jalen Williams did last night aside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gives you reason to once again be fearful of this Thunder team for the long run, because your reminder that he's only 24 years old. But then when you look at the other teams behind, I mean, yes, if San Antonio goes and gets Kevin Durant to put alongside Victor Wembanyama, who's becoming a monk this offseason, that's terrifying. And yes, the Mavs are going to get Cooper Flagg, but that's usually a longer-term project, and the Rockets were great this year, and the Lakers have Luka, and the Nuggets have Jokic, but by all means, no team is perfect. And so as the Grizzlies try to figure out, you know, how do they best compete, there's a lot of different avenues that you can go with, but I don't think you should be sitting here in the doldrums like, oh, God, the Grizzlies can't compete next season. Now, again, I think I'm with both of you in the hope that the package that they got for Desmond Bane results in some other moves being made that really fills it out, where you're not just kind of flirting with, oh, I feel kind of good about this team going into next year. No, you want some solidification of, oh, I'm really confident that this team can compete.
Jess, with all your family and your NCAA, you know, experience and especially outside the power structure, I'm curious, did you see Thamel's story? And if not, just sort of the what you thought about a potential, you know, what Memphis fans should think about a potential split, right, where maybe you've got football in one conference, in this case it would be Pac-12, and the other sports in the Big East. Would a, you know, an existence like that where you're split, could you see it working if the money's right? What do you sort of think of that line of thinking?
It feels like it could be a best case scenario, because you get the pedigree, it's hard for me to say pedigree with the new Pac-12, but that like hanging on nature of the new Pac-12, and I will be a Pac-12 defender for the rest of my life. But then you could potentially get the boost of being in the Big East, which would certainly be an upgrade from the AAC, especially on the basketball side of things, right? So that's what this all comes down to. And I think right now it feels like so many schools, I was with my dad over the weekend for Father's Day, and we were just talking about the state of college athletics. And you look at some of these schools right now that seem to be spending just a boatload of money to try to ensure that they're not one of the schools that gets left behind. You look at the money that Texas Tech has pulled from this oil guy and pouring into everything from softball to football. You look at what Colorado did by hiring Deion Sanders. You look at what North Carolina did by hiring Bill Belichick. Like, none of those things are just happenstance. Those are schools trying to make stakes in the sand of, hey, if this thing splits off, like, we want to be included with the big dogs. Well, when you're a school like Memphis and other schools like them, you're trying to hang on as much as you can to relevancy and to not be completely excluded if and when some sort of big shift happens. And so if you are the University of Memphis, being with the schools in the new Pac-12 or being with the schools in the Big East on the other sports side of things, that's an upgrade, like plain and simple. And so, you know, it might not be the greatest move that anyone's ever seen. No one's going to feel that it's perfection, but it's the best opportunity that you've got. And so if the money does ultimately work out, I mean, I think it's a pretty clear runway that that should be an avenue that's explored.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that it is. Jessica, you're the best. Thanks for doing this every week.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Bye.
She is Jessica Benson, joined us every single Tuesday here on the show. Yeah, interesting tweets there from John Morant, obviously paying attention to what is being said on ESPN. Said, talking about the Grizz more than the finals with these cap-ass sources. And then he follows up 2 minutes later and says, I'm going to be in that 901 with the Grizz emoji, source me. So I don't think that's a official extension announcement, Jason, but, you know, for all the speculation that has been had over the last couple of days about what the Grizz are doing, are they trading John Morant? Because that was the initial thing with the conversation. I wasn't watching, but the headline there, should Grizz move on from John Morant? Obviously, he has full intentions of being here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Zach Kleiman said that as well. So they both now doubled down on it. And I suppose, yeah, it does seem silly now that you've had national media, both in season and now out of season, speculate whether it's best for the Grizzlies to move on, whether it's best for Ja, whatever else, and you've had these emphatic answers. This second one now coming from Ja, it's great to see. You love to see it from Ja, from your star, that he's locked in for now. Doesn't in terms of do I now feel like, oh boy, we're headed for greatness now because Ja Morant's answered the critics? No, mm-hmm. Actually, what it tells me is he's still paying attention to what folks are saying.
Yeah.
You know, I could spin this the other way and say there's part of John Morant shouldn't care about this stuff, that we've spent too much time on caring about how folks are viewing us or viewing him. And so, you know, I'm glad he was so emphatic because we've said the best way for this thing to go is getting the best version of John Morant. That's what I'm most interested in. But like you said, man, that's not some contract extension agreement.
Yeah.
It's just talk on Twitter.
Right, right, exactly. So anyway, I would hope that, the extension comes. I would hope that, you know, this summer they can get that done and they can move forward and, with John Morant. I don't know where they are with that. I don't know if that's a direction that they want to go. You know, I could make an argument for both directions, really. But John Morant certainly does intend on being here. So, that he let be known, on social media about 20 minutes ago. We'll come back. Got the rundown. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.